Now let's continue on with the Day of Atonement, and let's find out a little bit more why this day is so important, and God's plan could never, never, never be fulfilled without the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement and the removal of Satan the devil. Now then, let's talk a little bit about independent free moral agency, IFMA. God has given that to every one of us as human beings. We must choose. Now, for salvation, before Jesus came, the only ones would be the patriarchs and some of the kings of Judah. Remember, not one king of the 10 northern tribes was ever righteous. It's so important that God, to demonstrate to all the righteous angels, all of Satan, the devil, and demons, to all of mankind, that sin and rebellion always leads to death and destruction. Now, just to prove a point, come here to Revelation 18, the very last verse. Now, the last verse is talking about Babylon the Great, and her sins have reached to high heaven. And how did it get that way? Through Satan the devil, through his setup, through his governments, through the human beings he controls. Let's read it here, the last verse, okay? And in her the blood of the prophets and saints was found, and the blood of all those who were slain on the earth. Think on that statement. And tie that together with what Jesus said, that Satan was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That's why Azazel has to be completely removed, because whenever he is around, there is sin. He must be removed, but not destroyed. Now then, let's look at some other things concerning Satan the devil. Let's come back here to Luke, the 4th chapter. And here we find, before Jesus could begin his ministry, Luke, the 4th chapter, he had to overcome Satan the devil. And this was quite a spiritual battle that was going on. All right? Luke 4. Now, the parallel account is in Matthew 4. Now, when you understand the chronology correctly, Jesus began his ministry here. This was the beginning of it. And this day, the day he began the 40-day temptation, was the Day of Atonement. In the middle of the week, fourth day of the week, interesting, when was Jesus crucified? On the fourth day of the week. So he began his ministry on the fourth day of the week and ended his physical ministry on the fourth day of the week. Now, let's think about something else. In Luke 4, actually, Luke 3, we find that Jesus was baptized and went into the wilderness immediately. So he was probably baptized on a Monday, took 2 days to go into the wilderness, and there on Wednesday, the Day of Atonement, which was also a Jubilee year, Jesus began his ministry, and the first order of business was overcoming Satan the devil. Where was Azazel let go? In the wilderness, right in the area where Jesus went to meet Satan. Now let's pick it up here. Verse 1, Luke 4. And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The only way any human being can overcome Satan the devil is with the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God. So this was a great spiritual battle for all of mankind, for all of the plan of God, for every one of us. For 40 days to be tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing in those days. That's why we fast on the Day of Atonement. That's why we don't drink water on the Day of Atonement. And after they had come to an end, he hungered, actually famished. Imagine, he was just skin and bone. And when are people most susceptible to giving in? When they're physically and mentally weak, number one. When they are in pain and agony, number two. When they seem to be in a helpless situation, that they are desperate. Don't you think that Jesus was that way, physically speaking? Yes, indeed. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, first challenge, if you are the Son of God. You know, Jesus could have said, but he didn't. Now, we also have to understand something very important, that Jesus, independent free moral agency, was here being tested to the extreme. So Jesus could have said, of course I'm the Son of God, but that would not be from God. Notice Jesus' obedience based on loving the Father, and the Father loving him. Okay? If you are the Son of God, command that this stone become bread. He could have done that. Be simple. But notice, it's not really in some cases a matter of whether you can do it or can not do it. It's really whether you should or should not do it. So notice Jesus' answer. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Now, since Jesus was God manifested in the flesh and a man, the Son of Man, when he speaks of man here, he's talking to himself as well as all mankind because he's the creator of all mankind. Is that not true? Yes, indeed. So notice what he said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Deuteronomy 8:3 says that proceeds out of his mouth as well as Matthew 4:4. How are we to live? What are we to choose? God's way. What has God written for us? What he wants us to do. Okay. However, we've got to use our independent free moral agency to choose it. All a choice. Then the devil led him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this authority and the glory of them all. For it has been delivered to me. God has delivered the whole world to Satan the devil, has he not? Why? Because of the sins of human beings, correct? Yes. And God reaches down and calls those that he wants to be in his family. And we have to respond to God and choose. There we go. That's the way the world is. All right. For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I desire. Now look at all of the awful dictators and emperors and demigods, all of this stuff. And Satan wants to be worshipped as God. Now he's going to get it at the end. It says there in Revelation 13, and all the people, the whole world, worships the dragon and Satan, and he gives his throne and authority to the beast, just like it says here. I give it to whomsoever I will. Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence, all things shall be yours. Satan wants to be God. Now, all the worship in all of the religions of the world are not directed to God, but to Satan. There are some who think that they are worshiping God, but they're not. Because what is the thing that's important? That you love God and keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And you must have the Spirit of God within you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of God within them, they are not of God. Now, they may be close. They may be getting close to baptism and so forth. But that's just the way it is. The whole world is worshiping Satan the devil in one form or another. Now, let's continue on here. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you." Now, that's not Satan. Satan will never worship God, so that doesn't refer to Satan. Jesus is referring the command to men, you, God can't commanding us directly, shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he led him to Jerusalem, set him on the edge of the temple, and said to him, if. Now I want you to think on this one. Okay, look at that again. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written. Satan can quote scripture. Reading scripture does not sanctify that it is being spoken by a representative of God. But notice how Satan uses it. He misuses the scripture. Do they do that in all of the so-called Christian churches? Yes, indeed they do. Oh, they read scriptures about Jesus while they have idols around and candles and celebrate the Mass and have the Lord's Supper and keep Christmas and New Year's and Halloween and all of those things. Makes no difference. Satan can quote scripture for his own advantage. What did Jesus say here? Man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word of God. Now think of that. Just go on your television station, you have it there. Check up on the Catholics when they have a Mass. And it seems that's about the only thing they can do. But they do read a little scripture. But God is not there. And who do you think they are worshiping? None other than Satan himself. Can't worship God with idols. Can't worship God with lies. Now notice this one here. He quotes a scripture. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. That's God's protection for those who are his if an accident happened. Not jumping off the edge of the pinnacle of the temple, which from the top to the bottom of the valley floor was upwards of 500 plus feet. Now, if Jesus did that and the demons came and held him up and Satan called for all the priests and Pharisees and scribes and told them, this is your Savior, they would have accepted Jesus, because he would have been owned lock, stock, and barrel by Satan the devil. So you see the picture? So what did Jesus answer? Verse 12, but Jesus answered and said to them, it is clearly stated, you, that is, every human being, shall not tempt the Lord your God. So after that, Satan left him for a time. So that's quite a thing, isn't it, huh? All right. Let's come here to 2 Corinthians. We'll look at a couple of scriptures here showing about Satan, how he works. And is he interested And those who are in the church, does he want us to choose to reject salvation? But of course. So there will be times when we will be confronted with things that are caused by Satan and the demons. And we can recognize them, and we can rebuke them, and we can tell them, get you behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, because they must obey. But Satan is subtle, and Satan is crafty, like we read during Genesis, the third chapter, cunning. So let's come to 2 Corinthians 4, and let's read it here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Now here's how the ministry should be run, as Paul brings out. Therefore, having this ministry as we have, accordingly we have received, we are not faint-hearted, for we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, those things which are lies. Not walking in cunning craftiness, not having a secret agenda and all that sort of thing, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, because that's what they do, okay? They handled corrupting the word of God, chapter 2 and verse 17, okay? But by manifestation of truth. Truth is what we need, always. The truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, nothing but the truth. That's why we changed the name of the website, truthofgod.org. Once we get all that settled in there, the website will be able to be reached by many more people than just CBCG. Now continuing, by manifestation of truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, in whom the god of this age, Satan the devil, did he not say, for all of this has been given to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we do not preach our own selves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Now then, let's look at what this says here. We do have protection, it says over here, chapter 2 and verse 11, so that we may not be outwitted by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. His schemes are always appeals to something that will be transgressing the laws of God or a lie concerning the word of God. That's why we're told to prove all things. That's why we are to do the things in accordance with the will of God, the truth of God, the love of God, and nothing, nothing, nothing else. What did Jesus say? Anything else is of the evil one, meaning it comes from Satan the devil. Now notice, dishonest gain, craftiness, deceitfulness, all of it. Does it come against the church? Yes, he does. What happened there when you read in Acts, the fifth chapter, of Ananias and Sapphira? What did Peter say to them? Why has Satan put it into your heart to lie to God? They thought, after they pledged what they said they would pledge, that they could go ahead and adjust it and modify it and say, that's perfectly all right, and lie to the Apostle Peter. What happened to them? Boom! They died right on the spot. Now let's come to chapter 11. Let's see how he works. And then we'll look in the book of Revelation and see that the history of the churches of God, Satan is always there in one form or another. Okay? 2 Corinthians 11. Now here's how it started in Corinth. Those coming along saying that they were ministers of God when they weren't. Who were they? Well, some were Jews, some were Israelites. How did they say they knew Jesus? Well, maybe there were some of those who were there and heard Jesus speak, were there and were fed part of the 4,000 or 5,000. And they found out that they could make things really good by pretending to be a minister of God. Isn't that what Simon Magus did in Acts the 8th chapter? Yes, here, a high-powered religious leader saying that he was the power of God and deceiving them with sorceries and witchcraft. And he was the Peter, Simon Peter, that went to Rome in 42 A.D. Now, if you've never gone through our series on Church at Home, is get on your computer and work it around. You can through Ryko, you can put the full screen on your television and watch all the segments that we did. Was Peter ever in Rome? So think about that. Now, if you are a good Catholic, which I don't think there'll be very many on the Day of Atonement there, but if you were a good Catholic, think on this. Everything that they have said concerning Peter, concerning the church, concerning the Pope, is a lie. None of it is true. Understand this. There can be no salvation. There can be no at-one-ment with God. There can be no forgiveness of sin with a satanic counterfeit. Though wonderfully produced, it is of Satan the devil. Now notice what Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1, I would that you might bear with me in a little nonsense, but indeed do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, clever, subtle, slight changes, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, beginning with love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being, and the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the truth of God, and all of those things. And we have seen that happen in our day, have we not? Yes. Did some people in the church fall for it? Yes. Is Satan still active today? Yes. Now, Paul puts it this way. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, because satanic spirits go wherever there are lies, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. Now, what does that mean? That means that they listened to people because they had an opinion. Remember, opinions are not sacred. Philosophy is not sacred. That's the wisdom of this world. What did Paul write of it in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians? The foolishness of this world. Put up with it as something good. But I consider myself in no way inferior to those highly exalted so-called apostles. Wasn't Peter, wasn't Andrew, it wasn't any of the other apostles of God. These were the ones proclaiming themselves to be apostles. Now notice what he says just to few verses down here. All right. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And that is what has happened to the church. And that is what has happened to worldly Christianity. it is in the world, and everything of the world is deceived by Satan the devil, and there are varying degrees of deception. But if you are deceived and you follow him and keep his days and do his works and do his things, you are deceived. You may be considered a good and upright person in the society, but that doesn't count for eternal life. Notice verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They are not. So they've got to figure a way to do it. And it is no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his servants also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay? Now, so ingrained was this. I mean, think of it. Here are these Greeks, intelligent, we love philosophy, we want great, wonderful speaking, but this Apostle Paul, he just doesn't look good, and he doesn't speak good. Oh, his epistles are weighty. Verse 16. Again, I say, no one should consider me a fool, but if otherwise, receive me even as a fool, that I also may boast a little. Then he talks about everything that he went through. And I like this verse down here. Okay. Verse 19. For since you are so intelligent, you gladly bear with fools. Okay. For you bear it if anyone brings you into bondage, taking you out of the freedom that God gives us with his grace into the bondage of sin. If anyone devours you, if anyone takes from you, if anyone exalts himself, if anyone beats you on the face, I speak as though we were under reproach for being weak. But in whatever way anyone else is bold, and I speak in foolishness, I am also. What did they claim? Well, I'm a Hebrew. Okay. Then he says, are they servants of Christ? He says, I would be out of my mind. Now, let's come to the book of Revelation. Let's see, yes, this did happen. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, I want you to read the whole thing. By the way, we've got a new booklet coming out. The ministry is not the government of God and the truth of the Nicolaitans. Okay? All in one booklet. Okay. Church at Ephesus, how is an opening given to Satan the devil? By not loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Church at Ephesus left their first love. So what were they doing? They were doing the physical things of helping the poor and taking care of the homeless and things like this. Now, that's a good thing to do. Nothing wrong with that. But if it takes you away from the true God, and if it takes you away from loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and being, you're going to fall. So that's what he said. Then we have the church at Smyrna, and the synagogue of Satan was after them. Cast them into prison, killed them, martyred them. So Jesus said, be faithful to death, I'll give you a crown of life. Then the church in Pergamos. Oh, the great enlightened city of Pergamos, where the great altar of Zeus was, the throne of Satan. So there they learned about the sacrifice of the Mass. And there they brought in the hierarchy, which God says he. And Thyatira, woman prophetess, calls herself Jezebel. Oh boy, I tell you. What happened? They got so bad that some of them even got into the depths of Satan the devil. And Jesus told them that I'm going to kill you with death. That's got to be the second death. Called them to repentance. Well, historically speaking, after that, the church was so exhausted that the only thing they could end up doing was keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. Jesus told them, strengthen what you have left, and I won't blot your name out of the book of life. Then you have the Church of the Philadelphians. And they're the ones who stand against the synagogue of Satan. They're the ones, even though they're poor. Church of Philadelphia, love the brethren and love God, because you can't love the brethren unless you love God. Faithful to the Word of God. Then you have the Church of the Laodiceans, right? Lukewarm, smart alecky. Yes, they teach some things of God. Where's the love of God? Where's the zeal of God? And all of that sort of thing. Well, the Bible gives us the history of man and how he has been deceived by Satan the devil. And it gives us the truth of God, the true God, the true Jesus, the true plan of God. And the way we understand those is to love God, keep his commandments, his Sabbath and holy days, study the Word of God, rightly divide it, rightly put it together, and we understand what God is doing up to this point. But the kingdom of God cannot be set up until Satan is removed. So let's see the fulfilling of Leviticus 16. Getting rid of Satan, getting rid of Azazel, getting rid of the demons. In Zechariah 13, it says that the unclean spirits are removed from the land. So from the time we come on trumpets back to the earth, what are we going to be doing? Well, we're going to be spreading out and helping people come to themselves. And the angels will be there gathering the demons to put them into the abyss with Satan the devil. And there will probably be some fightings and warrings and skirmishes with some of the remnants of the army, which is probably a good number of people of the 200 million. So there's a lot going on between trumpets and atonement. But on atonement, verse 1, Revelation 20, then I saw an angel descending from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he took hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And only then can the millennium begin. And so that's pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, at the end of the millennium, we will see what happens to Satan and the demons. But this Day of Atonement pictures when we will be one with God, which was the whole goal of what Jesus prayed his last prayer. Let's come to John 17, and let's see the prayer that Jesus prayed. We won't go through the whole thing, but let's pick it up here, okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Let's see how, that right at the time before he was to be arrested and led off to be falsely charged, falsely convicted, falsely beaten and scourged and crucified and the spear thrust in his side, all to be that perfect Passover sacrifice for the sins of the world. God manifested in the flesh. And here was the purpose that he had in mind. Verse 13, in his prayer, he's saying to the Father, but now I'm coming to you, and these things I'm speaking while yet in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. And think what the joy will be at the resurrection. That's when the joy will be fulfilled in us. I've given them your words, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. So don't worry if people don't care for you because you believe the Bible. Maybe you can try and help them understand it. But if they hate you, that's the way that it is. They hate Jesus. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, Satan the devil. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. We are made holy by the truth of God, the word of God, and the Spirit of God. and the love of God. That's how we grow and change and overcome. And that's why this Day of Atonement, just think what a day that's going to be. And we will live to see Satan and all the demons removed and all the saints from Abel clear to the last two witnesses. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. Even as I did, you did send me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in your truth. I do not pray for these only. So here's a prayer of Jesus for everyone. Everyone that would answer the call through the ministry that he established with his apostles. I pray for those who shall believe me through their word, that they may all be one, at one meant with God. Atonement. That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one. They also may be one in us, in order that the world may believe that you did send me. Okay? I've given them the glory that you gave to me, that is the Spirit of God, in order that they may be one in the same way that we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one. And that's the whole purpose of our Christian life and walk. To be perfected every day, every Sabbath, every Passover, every unleavened bread, every Pentecost, every trumpets, every atonement, every tabernacles, every last great day, perfected into one, and that the world may know that you did send me and have loved them as you have loved me. So that's the meaning of the Day of Atonement. Satan removed, and we will be at one with God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.